Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, Father God, we just give you this day, Lord. We say, have your way with us. And now we just, I lost my worship girl. And we're going to go into worship. So if you remain standing for a little while, then after that, just do what God leads you to do. God bless you guys.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I was blessed by that song. Wow. Recently, last Saturday, my uncle Roy went to be with the Lord, and today I was thinking, just how precious our lives are, and at the same breath, how short life is, and that, we should really live in the moment when it comes to our faith, and that we should take our walk with God seriously, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, folks. We are to press into God and live every day like it's our last day on this earth. And so I encourage you today that if you're not really pressing that hard into your relationship with God, or if you think that, your relationship could use improvement, then I would definitely encourage you to take time to press into God, because He is the best decision you'll ever make. And I love what Rebecca said, that God has a plan for each and every one of us. He has things for us, and we have a destiny, and we need to take that to heart and really press into that destiny. So continue to trust in Him. Trust Him with your life, because He gave you life. And that's really kind of what the Holy Spirit put on my heart to say today. So thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Hawaii has... The devastation in Hawaii is why I stand here. The Lord has had Hawaii on my heart all morning. And yes, we overcome in Jesus' name, but it does not mean that we don't mourn and we're not sad for these people. My heart is broken for these people. My heart is breaking for the people of Hawaii. But the Lord gave me this scripture. This is John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have said these things to you that you may have peace. Now, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for all of these people. This is only one image of how bad it is in Hawaii. The entire town has been flattened. So Lord, we come before you right now in the power of the Holy Spirit. I need every one of us, because there is power in corporate worship. There is power. There's just nothing like corporate worship. Because when I worship at home, it's not the same as being in church. It is not the same. And it's the same with prayer. Yes, we can pray, at home. We can pray one-on-one with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's power in corporate prayer. Praying as a church body is a whole different thing than just... there's just power is all I can say. There's just power in corporate prayer. So Lord, we come before you now. We know that the Lord mourned as well. He mourned when his brother John died. He mourned. He was sad too. He is sad for these people in Hawaii. So Lord, I'm asking you right now, just give strength to the people there. Give them strength, Lord. Give them comfort, Lord. Bring them to their knees if they don't know you, Lord. Let this loss, let this tremendous loss be what brings people to you, Lord. Because that's where we find our comfort anyway, is in the Lord, nowhere else. Just like he said, in the world you will have tribulation. We'll have tribulation here, but Jesus is our overcomer. So Lord, I just ask you, Lord, and I ask everyone here to agree with me that the Lord will bring more salvation through this. The Lord will bring strength in this. The Lord will bring peace in this. The Lord will bring provision. The church will rise up. The church in Hawaii will rise up, and they will be there to comfort these people, to comfort those that are in mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for the Lord will comfort thee. So I don't even know Randy grew up in Hawaii. It may not be, you know, on the island of Maui, but many of us here know somebody that's lived in Hawaii, that has visited Hawaii. So I just ask just to pray for Hawaii. This is where the church shines. This is where the church shines. So I encourage you to look up Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse is actually going there this week. They're working on getting permission to go there and to help. So just pray for Samaritan's Purse, because this is devastation. So Lord, we trust you, like the song just said, like we just said, we trust in the Lord. We trust the Lord our Savior, that He will bring beauty for ashes. There is going to be beauty for ashes in this situation. And this is ashes. So the Lord's going to bring beauty out of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So lately I have just been thinking a lot about different things. But one thing that I have actually been really thinking about is I have been doing this thing where I write a bunch of notes on some post-it notes, and I've seen this a lot everywhere. I'm like, I should try this. So, I wrote a bunch of like Bible verses and stuff like that on a bunch of little sticky notes. And if we go to like just a store, the mall, just to go anywhere, I will put them somewhere for someone to find. Because just God needs to be put out there in the world too, and most of the times. And it's just, I've seen it everywhere, and I just really wanted to try it. So, like, I'm going to be going to this thing called One Day with, I'm pretty sure, Makaya. And we're going to be going, and this is like all about how to spread the word of God, a bunch of stuff on how to just spread the word. And I'm like super excited. I'm like waiting for this because, like, I've been wanting to find a way that I can help spread the word, that I can spread the word. So, like, just doing this is just a little thing to start. I want to do more as I can. But I'm also doing it with Abby, but she's not here today. I'm doing it with her because when we were at youth camp, Pastor Micah Mack told us, like, brought us up to the stage and told us that God told him that we will minister to everyone together as our friendship will be strong in the word, and that we will do it together, that it's not just going to be us separate, it's going to be us together. So we're wanting to just do it together, so it's going to be me and Abby going to this one day, and I'm super excited, but yeah.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, Queen Liliuokalani was the last queen in Hawaii, and she dedicated Hawaii as a Christian nation. You know, she dedicated Hawaii as a Christian nation. And there's a picture where the oldest church in Hawaii is in Lahaina, and everything was scorched, but that church was not even touched. Amen? And that big banyan tree that was planted in the middle on Front Street in Lahaina, it was scorched, but the roots go down deep. They said it will survive. So that big tree that's been in the ground since the 1800s is going to survive. And just like us, the fires may rage, but we're going to come out not smelling like smoke. Amen. Amen. So when the fires are raging, it won't touch us. Amen. God bless.
This is how I fight my battles, with worship. Amen. With our lips, with our tongues, with our mouths. I didn't realize until yesterday that this song represents Psalm 23. Maybe I'm just a dodo, but, you know, they play this song quite a bit, but I never realized that until I was looking at the words, and I said, that's in Psalm 23. How many of you knew that? Nope. Everybody but me, right? So, this is how I fight my battles. There's a table set before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about that a little bit today. So I was wondering why Rebecca put this song at the last. Well, I know why now. See, the Holy Spirit works in ways that we can't fathom. She picked a song. I'm sure she prayed about it, but she put a song at the end that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So this is how we fight our battles. Remember, when the people went against Jericho, they were silent, and they walked around that city for 6 days in a row. But on the seventh day, when they got done walking around, they blew their horns, their shofars, and they all shouted with joy.
Amen.
This is how we should be in our worship, in our praise. Yeah. Shouting for joy for the Lord.
Amen.
I think it's very important. Microphone on because I don't know how it would sound, and I'm sorry for the mess up at the beginning. That's not my horn, so every one of those shofars has a different mouthpiece, so it's really difficult to switch from one back and forth to the other. I thank you, worship team, for the wonderful songs you picked this time, and you guys were marvelous. You know, these guys work really hard. Let's give them a hand. So a lot of you are sitting back there saying, what's going on? Where's the pastor? Well, the pastor's not here today. And he asked me if I would share a message with you today, so I am. So all of you, this is your first time here. I'm not the pastor. I am not a pastor. I'm just a layman. So if I'm not speaking anything like you like to hear it or everything, don't blame it on this church. You can blame it on me. My name, if you like it, is Terry. But if you don't like it, my name is John. Okay? So that's up to you, right? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together today and talk about your word. Speak about you, Lord. Praise you and worship you and honor you and speak out the glory of the Lord. Lord, please fill my lips with your words and not my words. Help me to represent you properly. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Most High God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to try to do some of this electronically today. I'm not sure if I can, but let's do this. Hit switch. Maybe you want to do the next one. It's not working. Next one. There you go.
Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand.
For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night.
So I blew that first because I didn't want to be mic'd up and blowing that. But we don't know when the end is coming.
That's it.
Right? We don't know if it's tomorrow, if it's 30 years from now. But I can tell you the day is coming.
Yes.
And just like Aaron was saying today, he lost a loved one last week. We don't know when that last day is for us.
Yeah.
So I have a disclaimer, you know, that I always have to put this blowing the trumpet and this disclaimer is what the Lord told me every time I do a presentation in the public is to do this. Okay, so here comes the disclaimer.
And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know.
I know nothing, I see nothing, I say nothing, 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 nothing. If I would know something, I wouldn't even tell my back. I know nothing about everything.
So, in reality, we know nothing unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Because other than the truth, we're just guessing at everything else. Jesus is the truth. He's the way and the life.
Amen.
Let's go to the next one, Abe. This is the title of today's message. Be fruitful and multiply. I'm not talking about increasing, right?
Right.
I'm talking about being fruitful and multiply the kingdom.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for.
That's it.
And how do we do that? Next slide. I'm going to try to work this again. I don't know if it worked. Did it come up? No. Not working, Abe. So today, the power verse is, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you understand the God that we serve and what God has done for us? His compassions fail not. We are not consumed. Is God's heart pouring out for those people in Hawaii? Of course it is. But he also is in control of all things. We don't know the hows or whys, but we do know that he is in control of all things. He made all things. He is all things. He is the I am. And everything you put behind it, he is. Right? Okay. Next one, Abe. You know what? This will make it easier if I just pull something out here. I thought I could do it electronically, so I have no idea where I am now. Okay. So here we go with Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. What is it about the heart, the mind, and the soul? What is it? He's saying we should love all three of these things with passion for him. Do we do that at all times?
Amen.
Sometimes I don't remember these things. How about you?
Nope.
You know, what can we do to continue to love the Lord our God? And what does it say after that? And everybody else, right? So let's go to, Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we have spirit and we have flesh, and they're contrary to one another. Remember that song, "This is how we fight our battles"?
Yes.
We have a battle brewing inside of us all the time, every day. It's brewing inside of us. And where is it brewing inside of us? Does anybody know?
In our heart.
It's in our mind. It's in our mind, okay?
Yes.
That's where the battle is. He's already placed inside of us. But in our mind, we think some things that we shouldn't think. We wake up in the daytime, oh, I got to go to work, or oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, and everything else. But do we think about God first? Do we love him in the morning? Do we love him in the evening? Do we love him all day long? That's the question. Next slide, Abe. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord tests us. And he tests us every day. Some of these struggles that we go through is he's testing us. Will you trust in me? Will you let me guide you? Will you hear my still small voice? But he tests us every day. We have to understand that we are going to rule and reign with him someday. And he's qualifying us for that position as we go through life. We are spiritual. We are not body. We are spiritual beings. This body is just to get us around, just to walk back and forth, just to speak words. We were made in the image of Christ. And the Lord spoke out what he was creating. He spoke it out of his lips. And we have that same ability with our words. They are powerful, strong, and mighty because we're children of the Most High God. Okay, Abe next. Second Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing every thought into captivity. What does that mean? If you're a captive, what are you? If you're a captive, you might go to prison, right?
Right.
He's saying, take these thoughts captive and figure out which ones are of God and which ones are not of God. Do we do that? My wife's dad once told her that I never talk. That he's talking to me, but I never speak. Well, that's because I could never get a word in edgewise. By the time when I listen and process what he said, by the time I was about to say something, he was moving on. And so he thought that I just didn't want to talk to him. But I never got a chance to talk to him. That's the story. It's kind of funny, but it's realistic. There may be some people in this room that are the same way. We get to be chatterboxes and everything. We want to be heard, and we're talking to somebody. But what if the other person got a word from the Lord to speak to you? But you're so busy chatting and everything, that word was never spoken. So we have to watch. We'll go through some scriptures that support this. If I can keep going here. Okay, they're going to play this little video that I put together for you guys. So here we go.
Today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of darkness. So let's get with it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of an evil spirit is opposite, hatred, misery, conflict, impatience, meanness, wickedness, faithlessness, brutality, loss of control. 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. We play ping pong in our brains. We want to work in the Spirit of God, but we often work for another spirit. It is of darkness. You see, when we operate in the old man, outside of God's will, we allow the fiery darts of the wicked one to infiltrate our mind with worldly thoughts. In Ephesians 6:11-18, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
So we have the armor of God that's available to us, right? But how come things get to us? Do we ever lose the armor of God?
No.
Okay, everybody said no, I believe. Okay, because the Holy Spirit's in us, right?
That's it. Okay.
But what happens if we walk contrary to the Holy Spirit? What happens to us? We get a chink in our armor,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
When we start walking against God's word, we get a chink in that armor.
That's it.
Right? So we talked about these fiery darts of the wicked one. When you get a chink in your armor, that dart can come right through and go into your mind.
That's it.
The table of your mind. I had a scripture in there that said you cannot dine at the table with God or with demons, right?
Right.
You can't dine together with that.
Right.
But you can dine individually if you let your armor down. We don't have to put on the armor every day, but if we let it down and we're going against God's word, we better put that thing back on. Ask for forgiveness and get that armor back on us. If you look at this list, these are the antonyms or the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Has anybody hated anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Misery, conflict. Is anybody getting in conflict with anybody?
Yep.
Impatient, meanness, wickedness, faithfulness. Faithlessness, brutality, and loss of control. Anybody lose control once in a while? I used to lose control of a race car once in a while. But do you ever lose control of your mind? You know, sometimes you start to get angry, right? And then you just start yelling, screaming, and maybe the other person's yelling and screaming back. But when you get to that point, do you think anybody's hearing you?
No.
No. So I'm here to tell you that we walk on this side often.
Right.
People say, no, we've got the armor of God. Really? Because I see this happening even in myself.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are we going to do about it? Do we want to do anything about this sort of thing? Let's take a look at this next verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over.
Amen.
Who anoints our head with oil?
Jesus.
Jesus does. And how do you get that anointing? How do you get oil out of an olive?
Press it.
You press it, right?
Yeah.
They use the first press to make the oil for the temple. Remember that? The first press, the nicest oil. The Lord presses us during our lifetime to try to continue to bring that oil out so that our light will shine. Our light shines because of the oil that he gives us. Without oil, we have nothing. So he continues to press us so that oil will power that light that's in us. Next slide. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't God say, no fear? I didn't give that to you. How many people have gotten fearful before?
Yeah.
Fearing that I can't pay my mortgage. I can't do this, that. We get fearful, but he didn't give that to us. So who did give that to us? somebody else, right? So these are the things we have to realize, is that we step out of that armor many times, maybe many times per day. Abe. Numbers 5:14. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself. Okay, I'm not talking about this scripture and what happens when that happens. I'm talking about, do we ever get jealous of anyone? Now, the first thing people think about jealousy is husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. But what about the guy standing beside you at work that's getting more money than you, and you're outperforming him in all ways? Do you get jealous about that? What about somebody getting an award that you did all the work for? What about somebody who gets a blessing from the Lord, but you have been asking for a blessing that you haven't received yet? Do we have jealousy in that? Next, Dave. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?" Cain got angry at the Lord. He was giving the Lord an offering, and the Lord didn't accept it. So Cain got angry. And what happened after the anger? He killed his brother Abel. See, when we operate outside of the Holy Spirit, there's, there's something that happens to us. There's consequences to our actions. And those consequences are to press that olive again and try to get you that light back in you. That's why we need to put on the armor of God. Keep that shield of faith. Above all, it says, taking the shield of faith in your armor. He says, above all, that must be the most important piece of your armor, is the faith that we have in God. He had to give us a small measure of faith just for us to start believing in him. And as we go on and on and on, and Pastor John and I were talking about all the things that happen. They're not coincidences. They're the things that God has lined up. That should increase our faith. The number of things that the Lord does for you on a daily basis is incredible. How many times do you think he does something for you every day? Every breath you take, every heartbeat in your body, he commands. If he's done with you, he's done with you. But he commands it all. We need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul. Right?
Amen.
With all our strength. And what is the strength? Where do we get our strength from? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
How many times do we walk in sadness? How many times do we just come into church and, why? How you doing? You know?
Yeah.
I was in Texas recently. The Lord sent me on a mission trip, and I walked into my son's church, and as soon as the doors opened and I walked in, it was, I am home. I could feel the Lord in that church. I could feel his presence. I could feel the energy.
Yes.
And then as I went into the sanctuary, and I was early because my son operates the cameras there at the church. So I was early. And so there wasn't people in the chairs yet, but the worship team had gotten done practice, and they were jumping around for joy. Everybody had a smile on their face. And like, this is the Lord's house.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
And I was supposed to speak to the pastor that day. That was part of the mission trip. The pastor wasn't there. The senior pastor was not there. It's kind of like me today. His son was there. And he was going to give it. And he had messaged my son saying, I'm really nervous about today. We're going to do something different. And I don't know how it'll go over. My son brought him to me to introduce him to me. And I said, I am so happy to be here. I feel the energy in this place. I feel God is here in this place. And I can't wait to hear what the Lord has given you to speak to us. And he looked at me like,
whoa.
Really?
Nice.
And I'm like, I don't know why he's saying that. I said, yes, really. I can't wait. I know that there's going to be an anointed message today coming out of your lips. And all of a sudden, his countenance changed. He had a big smile on his face. He had confidence. And he didn't mess up one word.
Amen.
Not one word while he was preaching. And since my son was working that day, I sat through three services.
Wow.
And every service, I bawled my eyes out because the message was that strong.
Wow.
That's how the Lord works. Through the Holy Spirit. You know, when we get angry, what causes us to get angry?
Stupidity.
Anything can cause you to get angry, you know? Your wife left the hot sauce off the meal, whatever, you know, we get angry at so many different things. But what causes you to get angry? I'll tell you, I think it's this. And that is because things didn't go our way. Right?
Yeah.
If you're driving down a street and the car in front of you is going 10 miles an hour under the speed limit, you get angry at that car or the driver, right? You get angry. Well, then you're driving down the street and a car goes by you. You're going down the freeway at 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, and this car goes flying by you like you just parked the car.
Right.
Well, then you get angry at that guy. The only time we're not angry is when everybody's doing it our way.
Right.
That's the only time. And what's the deal? Well, the deal is the Lord has told us to think about others first, put them before us, to humble ourselves and be a servant of God. But we come forth thinking nobody should do it that way. They have to do it my way. My way or the highway. I used to think that way when I managed my first managerial position way back in the 70s. My way or the highway. Oh, you're not going to do it that way? You're out of here. Well, over the years, I found out that was the wrong way to manage. When we love on people, when we speak edifying words to them, then we get results. Then we get results. You know, we can threaten them all day long.
Yeah.
Does God threaten us?
No.
He doesn't threaten us. He gave us free will. Free will to choose what we want to do. And he asks us, if you can, would you follow my word? Would you treat people kindly? Will you love your enemies? Will you forgive people as I forgave you? When he went to the cross, he forgave each and every one of us. And then when we went to him and repented, he forgave us. And where did all those sins go?
Yeah.
Even today, where do those sins go? He throws them. He throws them behind his back, and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness.
Yes.
His word says, "You must forgive because I forgave you on the cross. And if you don't forgive, you put me back on the cross." I'm paraphrasing here.
Right.
Do you want to put Jesus back on the cross?
No.
No. We don't want to do that. So forgiveness is forgiveness like he forgave. If you can't take that forgiveness, throw it behind your back and not remember it anymore, maybe you haven't forgiven. Maybe you should pray to God that he helps you to completely forgive as he forgives. Anybody that's harboring that unforgiveness in them is not going to make it to the kingdom. His word says that. So I urge you all, forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Somebody hurt you 30 years ago, I guarantee you, now they're not that same person.
Right.
I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you'd have never seen me up here. Right? So this is what I'm saying is, we let these fiery darts of the wicked one get into our heads. I call it darkness. We get a dose of darkness every once in a while, and it's how we react to that dose. Our choice, our decision, how do we react? Next verse, Abe. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. We ask God for help in all of the situations we're having struggles with.
Amen.
We need to ask God. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Darkness and light. Darkness and light. Do we want to be that double-minded man or woman? No. We're not supposed to be. So what are we going to do about it? Anything? There is stuff to do about it.
Amen.
You know, we talked about, or at least that video showed you about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Here's the darts. I won't have anybody hold this, because if you've ever seen me play darts, you're not going to like it. And he keeps shooting it to us. I believe the spiritual world can be heard. How many of you hear from the Holy Spirit? Okay. So you can be heard. But you can also, Satan can try to talk to you. And I know we don't like to talk about him very much. But the darkness, the spirits of darkness, they can whisper in your ear. They can say, that woman was coming on to you, when that woman wasn't. They can say, you know, that was rude. You need to do something about it. I had a guy a couple months ago come into our house, and he wanted to take care of a situation where somebody was treating us badly. And he was going to go talk to that person. I said, no,
The battle belongs to the Lord. We're going to pray about it and let the Lord change that person. We can't change that person. And he says, sometimes you just got to stand up and do what you have to do as a man. And I'm like, I am a man, and I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do the way that God told me.
Amen.
And I was persecuted for that, and I rejoice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, if you're being persecuted, rejoice. Why? Because you're doing something right. The world thinks you're doing it wrong, but you're doing it right. Now, what happens if we receive one of these things? Incoming, I call them. You saw in that video that there was a ping pong game going on. So here's that fiery dart, and it comes into us, and we'll call it a ball in this example. What happens if we receive it? Anybody have an idea?
Ouch, yeah.
Ouch, right? Yeah. You want that dart?
No.
Yeah. Especially coming out of your head. Oh, that doesn't sound good, right?
It doesn't tickle.
But we read earlier to be obedient.
Yes.
When something comes in that's not obedient to the Lord, we're supposed to punish it. And how do we punish that disobedient thought? How do we do that?
Fight it with the Word of God.
What did Peter tell David? I'm sorry. What did Jesus tell Peter while Jesus was telling him that he was going to be killed and go to the cross and all that? And Peter said, oh, no, that's not so. That's not so. That's not going to happen to you because you're the Son of God. And what did Jesus say?
Get behind me, Satan.
Why?
He was speaking something contrary to the Word.
He was speaking contrary to the words that Jesus was speaking. His word is powerful, and it's true. He was speaking in unbelief. So the words we read said to punish it with obedience. Punish that fiery dart, this little ball, with obedience. If we don't punish it, then guess what happens? Just like ping pong, he served up, right? And then we just serve back. Do it again, God. I mean, evil one, wicked one, darkness. Do it again. Hit it back to me. Do it again. Somebody might want to pick that up. But that's what we do. We play this ping pong game in our brain. We reacted to something, so we hit it back. And then he throws another one at us. And pretty soon, we can become out of control. Doesn't the fruit of the Spirit say, what does it say? Anybody know? Self-control, right? Self-control. Why is it self-control? Because nobody can take care of it except yourself. It's self-control. He says, have patience. Right? Kindness, goodness, gentleness.
Self-control.
Self-control. Love, joy, peace. Do you think war is peace? Everybody likes it. When people go to war, you know, we wanted to go to war after 9/11. We wanted to punish somebody. So we went to war, and what happened? Because they have weapons of mass destruction. But what happened? We didn't find any weapons of mass destruction.
No.
It was a lie.
It was a lie.
Right? So we react to that little fiery dart, and we do things we ought not. God's people are not supposed to war because we're supposed to be at peace. We're not in conflict, at peace.
Amen.
So why do we relish this stuff? Why do we relish this stuff? Are we defending our country? Isn't God the one that fights our battles? How many times did he bring the Israelites through?
Amen.
Then the Israelites said, you know, they sent out a scouting group out into the promised land, and they came back and said, there are giants in the land, and they eat people. We can't win against them. Now, they had already been through the Red Sea. They had already fought some battles that were won overwhelmingly. They were already in Jericho, and the walls fell flat, it says. Flat, not rubble, flat. They'd seen all these things, and they're whining and complaining because they don't have water. They're whining and complaining because we loathe this manna. We just, we're tired of it. Isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
We whine and complain. You know, I want my tacos. Well, where's the lettuce? Well, we didn't have any lettuce.
Where's the beef?
That's not a taco. Well, you know, that's not a taco. You know? But if that's all you have, isn't that good enough? Oh, we whine and complain. We do it all the time. I do it, you do it, right? Next scripture. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Do we resist him? Because he walks around as a roaring lion. He will devour whoever he can if we allow him to devour us. That's what we'll do. So let's look at 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Oh, we already did those, right? Next slide, Abe. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life, darkness and light, are in the power of the tongue. The words that we speak are so powerful. We can go up to a loved one and say something, and you'll see that reaction where they just kind of melt in their chair, where you just disappointed them, where you just hurt their feelings. We gave them a little ounce of death because we didn't speak the right words. We didn't wait on the Lord and say, tell them this. Tell that pastor that you're excited to hear the word that he has to give. Tell that loved one, I love you, and I know that you failed at this, but that doesn't change my heart for you. It makes no difference. Just stand back up. Let me help you. Let's do it again. We'll get through it this next time. Do you want to eat the fruit of darkness or the fruit of light? Our politicians are always speaking what you want to hear. But in truth, they're liars. So what is it that draws us to political things so much? Because we hear a lot of lies, but we absorb it, and we absorb it, and we believe in it. But over history, it just doesn't pan out. Some of us are into that, and that's okay. But we need to recognize the truth from the darkness. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, spiritually minded. Carnally minded is death, spiritually minded, death and peace. You'll see on this slide, this upside down man. The reason I put that in there, some of you know that I'm called the upside down man. Why? Because the Lord gave me revelation about turning everything upside down. So if you turn a man upside down, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, in the King James Bible, says the Holy Spirit resides in your bowels. So down here, does anybody get a gut feeling?
Yeah.
Never had that happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
That was the Holy Spirit saying, you better not do that. You know? So the Holy Spirit's down in your bowels. If you turn it upside down, then by gravity, the Holy Spirit talks to your heart. Your heart changes, and your heart changes your mind, and then you have the mind of Christ. That's why I keep saying this verse. I think it's Jeremiah 29:6. Surely the turning of things upside down will be esteemed as a potter's clay. In the New Testament, it says, those people, I'm paraphrasing, those people who changed the world upside down. He was talking about the Christians who turned the world upside down. That's what we're to do. We are not citizens of the world. We are citizens of the kingdom. And the kingdom is higher than the world is. In order to look at the world, you gotta turn yourself upside down on your own. You have to give yourself permission to do it differently. To be carnally minded is the word sarx, and it means flesh as stripped of skin. So it's not your skin. It's the rest of you. See, you're a spiritual being, like I said, and your spiritual being is not flesh and blood. Okay? But your body can receive all these other things from the natural world. Next slide, dude. James 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? How great a forest your tongue kindles. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. What? The tongue is set on fire by hell?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a wicked one or something? But we have a solution for that. And Abe, if you'll take us to that video, the next video, lights out first.
Keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yeah! Well, I just saved our lives. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not going to get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you want to play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner. Right after you eat this!
Ah! Right, here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
Oh,
this is the point I'm trying to get across to you guys. Okay, we are influenced by our mind. And even Hollywood made a cartoon out of it. But all it takes is a distraction from the Lord to come back, to come back. That's all it takes. The Lord is with us. He's in us. He's inside of us. And all we have to do is step out of the old man and let that new man take over. The new man, that's the Holy Spirit. We died on the cross with Jesus. The new man is the one that can fix all of our issues, who can guide and direct us in a way that we should go, that we would conquer death, just like Pastor says. If we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we can conquer death. I'm going to give you one more example. I'm going to skip some stuff, Abe, and I'm going to ask you to do the next video. So, if you guys haven't watched The Chosen before, this is a scene in The Chosen. And this is the disciples, the apostles, getting in a fight. They were standing up just about ready to go fist to cuffs because they were mad at Matthew for being a tax collector and all the things he did to hurt everybody. But they didn't recognize who he was now. And that's what we don't realize is all the people you think are not following God, we don't recognize who they're going to be. All we see is what they are now. Jesus came by. Jesus came back. He'd been healing people all day long, and he's worn out and tired, and he comes by, and then they see him. And when they turned, they felt bad. They started sitting down again. They had no words to say. Why? Because now Jesus was in front of them. He was now leading again. He was in front of them. We get ahead of the Lord and do our own thing. We have to wait upon the Lord and let him take the wheel. Let him be in control. Because you are the sons and daughters of Christ. You do have the power of Christ in you. You have everything you need. He has given you everything already. You just have to use it. I want to encourage you, even though I showed you how we are, those apostles and those disciples were still used in powerful ways. And over their lifetime, they became more and more and more Christ-like than they were in that scene there. And that's what I encourage you all, to take everything to the Lord. Let him transform you. Let him change you in a way that you've never thought you could be. Each and every one of you. Some of you will say, I won't go up there and talk in that mic. Well, I'm telling you here today, I used to say that. But the Lord changed. He can change me. He can change you. And he can change everybody around you. If we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, we'll make it so much faster. We'll accelerate that. Yeah. And we'll start getting some of these troubles left behind us. Because if we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, we're finally getting to where God wants us to be.
Yep.
I thank you for listening. And I know I go long, but you guys are really lucky. Because if you've been to one of my Bible studies, it starts at 3 and people usually don't get out of there till 8. So you're really lucky, even though I went long. So thank you for having me. Thank you. Let's pray before we leave. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us operate in the Holy Spirit at all times. That we have love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control, patience, all of the things that the Holy Spirit has to offer us, Lord. We pray that we will go out of these doors and that we will enlighten the rest of the world, that we will show them the truth and not the lie, that we will encourage and not tear down, that we will bless those around us and accept people for who they are and wait for you to change them, Lord, not us. Lord, please help us with these things. We acknowledge that we have fallen short, but we know that in the end, Lord, you work all things out for the good. Help us to go explain that to everyone else. Help us to voice your word and have the courage and roar like a lion, like that song said, "Oh, come on, my soul, don't you get tired on me." We thank you for all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Most High God, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.